I am excited to be able to speak today and just be there for Dwayne. They're on taking a little break and seeing some family, and then they're headed to Branson for a few days. So they're gone this week, and I just thought we were doing this series called More Jesus in youth group. And what we were doing with this series is we were kind of going through the Gospel of John and looking at who Jesus is. And we were doing that by looking at like instances in Jesus' life, whether it was maybe conversations he had or different miracles he did or different things that happened to him. We looked at the crucifixion and resurrection around Easter. And why we did this was the theme of the whole series was this. It says, no matter what you're facing today, what you need most is a clear vision of Jesus. And we go through so many things in life. And the world tells us so many things are the answer. Maybe it's more money or a better relationship or a relationship or, better health or whatever it is, right? If I only had this, only had that. Scripture tells us that the answer to the things we face are found in Jesus. And you might say, well, who is Jesus? And in Colossians chapter 1, where we looked at during communion time, Paul, he just lays it out. He lays this whole thing out at the beginning of Colossians in 1, and I'll read it to you. He says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, that he existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. And he made everything we can see and the things we can't see. Just think about that for a moment. Such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and the authorities of the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds together all creation. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the supreme over all who rise again from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself, and he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by him through your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body, and as a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. So who's Jesus? Jesus is the God we can see. We can feel him. We can put our hands on him. He came and lived in our neighborhood, as scripture tells us. He created everything. Everything exists for him and through him. He's the head of the church. He's beloved of the Father. If you look in verse 13 before that, he calls him the beloved of the Father. And lastly, he has brought you close to him. So saying that what we need most is a clear vision of Jesus is not to minimize the struggles or the things we go through. They're a big deal. They're difficult things. We go through so many things that are hard. But what it really is saying, it is maximizing who Jesus is that Jesus can handle the things we go through because of who he is. We serve a God who is good and amazing and awesome. And that is who Jesus is. So no matter what you're facing today, what we need most is a clear vision of Jesus. So Jesus calls us to have faith in him instead of fear. One of my favorite stories is in Luke chapter 8, where Jairus, his daughter's dying, and he runs to Jesus and begs him to come. And Jesus, of course, is going to his house, and the lady who has had an issue of blood for 12 years touches his robe, and Jesus, stops everything to have a moment with her. And then the servants come, Jairus' servants come while that's all happening and tells Jairus, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter's dead. And the most, Jesus just turns to Jairus in that moment and says, don't be afraid. Have faith and she'll be healed. So that's what Jesus is all about. That's who he is. And he's asking us to have faith in him. And so as we went through this series of more Jesus, I encourage the students and I encourage you guys today, no matter what you're facing today, what we need most is a clear vision of Jesus. So in our series, we looked at snapshots from Jesus's life. And today, the snapshot we're going to look at is the life of Peter and Jesus' interaction with Peter, the disciple. I like Peter a lot. He's really relatable to me. Peter is kind of a blue collar guy. And the lesson we can learn from him is this, and this is our main point for today, is that Jesus calls us out of our sin and failure, and he gives us mission and purpose. And I think we can find a lot of encouragement from that. And the life of Peter is such a good example because I do think he was a blue collar guy. Jesus, when we, if you turn to Luke chapter 5, that's going to be our scripture here. This is the moment that Jesus meets Peter. And Peter is a fisherman and he's out working with his hands, you know, and he's working hard. And, so if you turn to Luke chapter 5, we're going to read the story of how Jesus and Peter meet. We're going to start in verse 1. So it says, one day, Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats on the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out onto the water. And he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where the water is deeper and let down your nets and catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we have worked hard all last night and we did not catch a thing. But if you say so, I will let down the nets again. And at this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. And a shout brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish to the verge of sinking. And Simon Peter realized what had happened, and he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, Lord, please leave me, for I am too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, and the others with him, his partners, James and John, the son of Zebedee, were also amazed. But Jesus replied to Simon, do not be afraid, for now on you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. I just think this is such an interesting story. What a first impression. I mean, presumably Peter didn't know who Jesus was until this. I don't know. But Jesus just does this for him, right? In a way, I almost think, he's giving him a fishing tip for letting him use his boat, right? He's like, hey, if you go over there, there's a good spot over there. You know, Peter's like, I'm a professional. Like, thanks for the tip, but no thanks. And Jesus says, no, do it. And Peter, he responds, says, okay, I'll do it. I'll have faith in you and do it, right? And in a way, Jesus is making all of Peter's dreams come true, right? As a fisherman, because, can you imagine as Peter is working every day, just toiling, working hard? You know, they're doing good. They got two boats. I don't know if everybody had two boats, but that seems like that business is going good, but they're working hard. But you can imagine, so he's out there fishing, just, man, what would it be like if we just caught so many fish, we could take a vacation, you know? I just think about that. And Jesus in that moment is like, here's everything you've worked for. And he comes along and he makes it happen. It's the best financial day Peter's ever had. And Jesus is essentially telling him, your dreams are kind of small, you know? And I, as I was thinking about that and just that idea, kind of, you know, what would it look like if Jesus came to where we work and what we're doing tomorrow morning and just made everything we're working for happen just like that? Like, what would that be like? And what would our response to him be? You know, I don't think that Jesus is saying that working hard and having dreams and goals is something bad. I don't think that's what he's saying. But what I think Jesus is trying to get Peter to understand is that he wants us to work for something that has eternal value. And it's a special privilege as a follower of Jesus that what we can do here on earth can have eternal value. That the things we work for here on earth isn't just for here, but it can be for eternity. And Jesus, I think, is trying to get Peter to see that. He's trying to get him to catch the vision of what Jesus is doing. You know, I think Jesus maybe could encourage us that maybe your dreams are too small. Because Jesus tells Peter, from now on, you're going to be fishing for people. And C.S. Lewis has a really good quote, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again, is that you've never met a mere mortal being. Because each one of us is an eternal being. Each human we will ever meet is an eternal being. And Jesus is fishing for people. And he wants Peter to catch that vision, right? And that's what he's giving him, is I want you to fish for people. Now, Peter is, he's bold. He's devoted to Jesus. As we read through the Gospels, we see all these things. He's a leader. He's faithful. I mean, he's committed. He's all in. He's the first one to jump in and answer Jesus, and he proclaims Jesus as God when no one else is. And like he's all in. And I just love that about him. But the thing about Peter is because he's all in and he always says what comes to his mind, he can be prone to some failure. And that comes out several times. But Peter has a big fail at the end of Jesus' life and time here on earth. And to me, that makes him really relatable because I want to be like that. Peter has so many qualities of things that I want to be. I want to be bold. I want to be devoted to Jesus. I want to be faithful and a leader. But I also know that I am prone to failures, and that's probably you too, right? That we are all sinful and we fail. But if you turn to Luke 22, we're going to keep going with reading the narrative of what happens with Peter and Jesus. So in Luke 22, this is near the end of Jesus' time here on earth, and he's going to be getting arrested and crucified. So Luke 22, starting in verse 31, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's talking to Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. And when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Pause right there and jump down to verse 54. So they go to the garden. And so they arrested him and they led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. And the guards lit the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined him there. And a servant girl noticed in him in the firelight and began staring at him. And finally she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. And after a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, I am not, Peter retorted. On an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them because he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind, "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Wow, it's a big fail. The moment Jesus needed a friend the most, the one who promised to never forsake him, just denied him. It was even that even knew him to his face, right? And I can't imagine that moment where Jesus is looking across and they meet and have eye contact. And it broke Peter, right? Because he knew. And he went out. He couldn't even stand to be there, right? And he just wept. I just think of a big, you know, I just picture Peter. He's a fisherman. He's probably big and strong, blue collar kind of guy, and it breaks him. And he's just weeping. And as I read that, I kind of think, man, have you ever been there? You know, have you ever been so determined and committed to Jesus? You're like, I'm not going to fail. This is what I'm going to do for him. And then when the moment's there and the pressure's on, you fail. And, you know, it's like, oh, how did that happen? I said it's not who it was going to be, and boom, happened. But here's the good news. Here's the good news, and I hope this encourages you today if you're like, man, I have been there, is that failure is not final. And, you know, we like to think that. In our world, failure is kind of final. You know, if you betray somebody or you fail on a big project or, you know, you mess up, you may not get another shot. You may be done. But that is not how our God works. That is not who Jesus is. That is not how the kingdom of God works, is that our failures do not write us off. And it is not because of who we are. Let's be clear about that. It's not because Peter was some special, that his failure didn't write him off. It's because of who Jesus is. Because if you notice, I don't know if you noticed when we were reading through the first verses there in Luke 22, Jesus said, "I've pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, so that your faith should not fail. But when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." You know, Jesus knew he was going to fail, but he wasn't writing him off. He said, when you return back to me, I've got a job for you to do. So failure isn't final. Jesus calls us out of our sin and failure and gives us mission and purpose. And I just put that verse up there. And you know, I just love that. When you have repented and returned, I've got a job for you to do. Strengthen your brothers. So this isn't where Peter's story ends. You turn to John chapter 21. We get the last of it. We get the final part of Jesus and Peter. John chapter 21. Jesus restores Peter. He calls Peter out of his sin and failure, and I love this. So John chapter 21, we'll start in verse 1. It says later, this is after Jesus was crucified, after he rose again. It says, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, and this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll all come too, they said. And so they went out into the boat, and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. And he said to them, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciples that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, and he jumped into the water, and he headed to the shore. The others stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooked over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Jump down to verse 15. So they have breakfast. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. And Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. And on the third time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked the question the third time. And he says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Man, this story is just so good. I love it. At the beginning of the chapter, Peter, you know, I just think of where he's at. He's in his failure, shame. I'm sure he's beating himself up, you know, and he just says, "I'm going fishing." I can just see it. I'm giving up on this fishing of men, this thing Jesus called me to. I'm not good at it. I've failed. I'm done. I'm just going to go back. I'm going to go back to plan B. I'm going to go back to fishing. At least that was working out for me. You know, we had two boats and all that. We had people working for us. And so the disciples will go with him. You know, he just returns to what he knows. And he's back where it all started, right? He just goes back to where it started. And, you know, he gave up and he gave in, right? The failure and shame were too much. But then, you know, I find it ironic, but he even kind of fails at his backup plan because they still don't catch any fish, which, you know, God has a sense of humor, right? I mean, he kind of does. That has to just, you know, he should have known what he's doing and been able to catch fish, but nope, didn't, no luck. And I just love that, how Jesus brings him back to the beginning. And if you look at different translations, you even see that where it says that he had a charcoal fire on the beach, the fire that Peter was standing around when he denied Christ was a charcoal fire. And that word is only used like here in this instance. And so Jesus even like brings him back to that moment, right, where there's a charcoal fire. And I just think that's, I don't know, it's just Jesus to me just shows so much compassion to Peter, right, to bring him back. And he gives him a chance three times. Well, Peter denied three times. And so three times he repents of that, right? And he says, "Lord, you know that I love you," right? Jesus matches each denial with an opportunity to return and repent. Peter tells Jesus each time, "You know that I love you." And Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep." And at the end, he says, "Follow me." You see, Jesus is calling Peter out of his sin and out of his failure, and he's giving him a mission and a purpose. He's calling him. He says, at the beginning, he said, "I want to make you fishers of men." And now he says, "I want you to feed my sheep." He calls Peter and gives him purpose. And I'm happy to say that Peter responds to Jesus. You know, he jumped out of the boat and swam to Jesus. He didn't have to do that, you know. He could have swam to the other shore and ran away, but he didn't. He swam to Jesus. He didn't fix his failure and everything before he did that. He just went to Jesus. And that's a lesson for you and me. When we're in our sin and our failure, we don't hide it. We don't run from it. We don't just live in it. We need to run and take it to Jesus. Take your sin, take your failure to Jesus, because he's got a purpose. And if we look at the life of Peter, what happens with Peter after this, we'll see that God had big plans for Peter. We know that within 40 days was Pentecost. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and it was Peter who proclaimed Jesus In Acts chapter 2, it says that Peter stepped forward with the other 11 disciples and he shouted to the crowd. He shouted. And I'm sure the crowd was full of some of the same people that crucified Jesus, who Peter was scared of, who Peter denied Jesus in front of. He's not doing that anymore. Now he is shouting to the crowd and preaching. And he preaches this amazing sermon. And over 3,000 people get saved that day because God is using Peter. Peter has a purpose. He is fishing for men. If you read through Acts and church history, you will see the things Peter did. Peter performed miracles in ministry. He healed a lame man at the temple in the name of Jesus. You know, we sing that song, you know, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping. That was Peter. Peter was involved in that. He stood before the authorities and proclaimed the name of Jesus. And this is found several times in Acts, Acts 4, Acts 5. Peter was arrested and they questioned him, but he responds not with denial, but he says, we must obey God rather than men. That's Peter now because he's living his purpose. He's instrumental in opening up the gospel to the Gentile people. Peter ministered widely through healing and presence. He wrote letters to strengthen the church that we have in Scripture, 1 and 2 Peter. He was a faithful witness to the end of his life. We know from church history that he likely wound up in Rome and that he was martyred by Nero, most likely being crucified upside down. Peter's life is a beautiful reminder to us that Jesus calls us out of sin and failure and our weakness, and he wants to give us mission and purpose. He wants to use you and me to build his kingdom. Now, you know, we may not be called to do the same things Peter did, but we are called to be faithful. And that's the beautiful thing, is that Jesus has a purpose for each one of us, each one of us. It may not be, you know, all the things Peter did. We may not preach a sermon and 3,000 people come to know Jesus, but he has a purpose for you. And whatever it is, he is calling you into it. He wants to use you to fish for men, just like he used Peter. And he's going to do it in his own way, how he's gifted you, how he's given you talents and position, whatever it is. Maybe it's the position you have at work, or maybe you're a mother of children, or maybe whatever it is, God wants to use you how he's gifted and positioned you, and he doesn't want you locked up in sin and failure. So when we fail, run to Jesus like Peter did. You know, don't get distracted. In John chapter 21, after Jesus has this moment with Peter and Peter confesses his sin, he has a moment where John is following and is not far away, and Peter gets a little distracted about what's going to happen with John. And we won't read it necessarily, but Jesus tells Peter this. He says, if I want him, that's John, to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. You know, Jesus doesn't want us distracted. There's so many things that we can get distracted by other people, maybe what they're good at or what they can do, or you know, maybe they've got something we'd like to have, or man, if I could only do what that person does or have that gift. It's easy to get distracted by things and be like, God, if you'd only done this for me, I could serve you better. And Jesus doesn't want that. He didn't want that for Peter. He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to follow him regardless of what anybody else around is doing. Just like Peter said, it is better to obey God rather than man. The same is true for you and me. Don't be distracted. Don't let your failure and everything else going on keep you from running to Jesus. You know, we started off by saying what you need most is a clear vision of Jesus, because this is who Jesus is. He doesn't write us off because of our sin and our failure. In fact, that's where we were at when he met us, was in sin. But he wants to give us purpose. So jump out of that boat and swim to Jesus. Don't run away. He's standing there like he was for Peter on that beach. He's looking for you. And he's going to run and respond to you. He's going to restore you, and he wants to use you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just come to you. I thank you for who you are. You are a good Father. You are faithful to us. You are full of mercy to us. We are full of sin and failure. We will let you down every chance we get. There's nothing good in us. But yet, who you are, Christ's blood on the cross, has redeemed us. And I pray that when we fail and we are in our weakness, that we will turn to you and repent. And we know you will accept us. Your word tells us you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And we thank you for that. Be with us this week as we go out. Help us to love you and in return love those around us and point them to you. I just pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.